If you're a Bob Dylan fan, you probably recognize the name John Wesley Harding as the title of one of Dylan's albums. Singer-songwriter Wesley Stace took that same moniker as his stage name, and it served him well. But now, Wesley Stace has returned to his real name for his latest creative project. It's a novel called Misfortune, based on a song that Stace wrote and recorded under the name John Wesley Harding. Still with me? Good. Misfortune is the story of a baby boy who's raised as a girl by the richest man in Britain during the 1820s. Here's Wesley Stace reading the opening paragraph from his novel.
By now, Pharaoh had reached his destination. A dirty young man of no more than 15 years, he stood at the door of a crooked house in an alley, out of breath, gasping for air, and wondering what to do. On one foot, he wore an oversized woman's boot he'd found while scavenging for nails at low tide. On the other was a tattered derby, tied together with string that bit viciously into his instep, though he barely noticed. On his head flopped a ragged cloth with little shape or apparent purpose, and in between his top and his toes, his costume comprised a patchwork of tears and mends in at least 3 materials from many more pieces of previously worn clothing.
Wesley Stace told Anne Strainchamps what inspired him to turn his song, Miss Fortune, into a novel.
I was born with a coat hanger in my mouth. Oh yeah, I was dumped down south. I was found by the richest man in the world. Oh yeah, he bought me up as a girl. My sheets are satin, but my mind's a mess. There are worse things, I confess, than drinking tea in a pretty dress. And I'm here to tell you it's not all bad. Count your blessings, maybe you'll be glad.
When I was playing the song, I realized that though I'd been very pleased with the subject matter of the song and liked the song a lot, when I was playing it, and I guess there are not a lot of novelists who have this experience, I was able to really relive that song, you know, every night that I went out on tour. And I just started thinking about it, and I realized that though the first verse, I was born with a coat hanger in my mouth, is kind of the first chapter of the novel. And then, you know, I was dumped down south, I was found by the richest man in the world. That's the second line of the song, and that's the second chapter of the novel. Whereas I could follow it right through to the end of the bridge. In the third and final verse, the song kind of goes a bit AWOL. And while I was performing it, while Robert Lloyd was playing his beautiful mandolin solos, I just kept thinking, I think there's really something else to say about this character. I had been trying to write a number of novels, none of which I'd got very far with, all of which were set in the present day. And when I started Misfortune, I realized I'd bitten off so much more than I could chew, and that it was a whole world that I had to get involved in that I hadn't really prepared myself for. And I just knew I could finish it, because once I didn't have things set in the present day, I realized that a lot of the distractions of the present day, the faxes and the emails and the
The
Subarus and all the things that I, as a songwriter, have felt the need to satirize throughout my life. I found that once those distractions were gone, I could concentrate. And I found that that is what had been holding me up when trying to write previously.
Well, tell me about your character, because, I mean, part of what you're describing is that you kind of either fell in love with this character or just couldn't get him out of your head. You kept feeling like there was more to the story, there was more there that you had to uncover, you had to write.
Well, I mean, basically, that's very, very true in the song, because what happens is he's born, he's found, he's brought up as a girl, his dad dies, he reveals his true self, he goes traveling. And then in the last verse, he dies. And there's been, you know, 20, 50, 100, you don't know how many years in the middle of those two events.
You kind of think, what happened?
Yeah, exactly. It's like Jesus, the missing years. Was kind of how it felt to me. In a song, you can say, Okay, the first lines of the song were, I was born with a coat hanger in my mouth. I was dumped down south. I was found by the richest man in the world who brought me up as a girl. Now, that is a totally acceptable singer-songwriter lyric. What it says is very clear, and the listener is left to fill in the details. You don't have to explain any more than that. To explain any more than that in a song, to my mind, would be boring. In a novel, unless it's a weird experimental novel, you couldn't possibly explain that little about something. The guy brings him up as a girl. Why? What is the motive? Who's the guy? Why does he want to do it? What was his upbringing? You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so the moment I basically started to test my own song and see how I could make it realistic. Mm-hmm. And that became such an interesting and enjoyable, I won't call it puzzle, because it wasn't just that I worked it out for the sake of working it out, but it really became important to me to find out real reasons for these particular things. And once I'd started it, once I found out a motive for the father bringing up as a girl, which is in the book, then I had to find, you know, there had to be a mother. Now, why on earth would a mother agree to marry a guy who's already got a child that isn't even his own child that he's bringing up as a girl? And in the book, I think there's a very good reason for that, and it involves this kind of guru feminist fictional poet I made up called Mary Day, and she's into this Mary Day's kind of a William Blake-like character's philosophies about stuff, and it's made her think certain things about, you know, the human soul and how it's split into. And so it was that the novel just developed, was me giving these characters lives, motivations, names, faces, histories, libraries.
Well, I mean, the other way to read the whole gender issue in the novel is that this is really a story about the process of discovering who you are and who you want to be.
Yeah.
And especially when you're somebody who's drawn or even forced by your own nature to follow an unconventional path. And so I'm wondering whether you were drawing partly on issues that you faced yourself, because, you know, you go back and forth between creative identities, the singer-songwriter, the novelist.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Somebody said in one of the reviews, you know, that I was myself doing a much more tricky kind of transvestitism than my main character by being a rock and roll singer trying to write a decent novel.
Yeah,
which
I read
I accept
that one. You published your novel under one name and all your songs under another name.
I just thought that John Wesley Harding is a very good name to have on the spine of an album by a singer-songwriter, but it's not a good name to have on the spine of a novel like Misfortune, and it'd be like, you know, publishing Vanity Fair under the name Wild Bill Hickok. You know, it's just silly. David Copperfield by Billy the Kid.
We've been talking about the characters and the themes in the novel, but there's a lot of music in this book also. I mean, maybe not surprisingly, since you're a singer-songwriter. but you even got a songwriter as one of your characters.
Yeah.
Tell me something about the character called Pharaoh.
Pharaoh is basically a simple young man of 15 or 16. His only ability in life, like Rain Man or something like that, is to write songs. And he writes what he sees in front of him. And because of that, he is an eyewitness to certain events that means that his songs and the lyrics of his ballads are pivotal to the plot of the book.
You've actually written some of the songs that characters like Pharaoh sing, and you've recorded them also. And I've read that you actually have plans to do an entire album of songs from the book.
The album will be made up of the songs that the entire texts are in the book, of which there's only, I think, two or three. And they are Pharaoh's songs written by him at various points of the book. And when the facts in them emerge as truth, it saves somebody's life at one point and condemns a family elsewhere to their punishment because he's an eyewitness. Other songs are mentioned in the book as keys to somebody's character or personality, or they sing them in the book. I'm a songwriter and a musician, and so I'm very keen on not letting a song that is written lie fallow on the page.
The songs that you've written are all, I guess they're in a traditional English ballad style, and traditional to the time period you're writing about, right? The 19th century?
Yes.
Well, for instance, I mean, take one, like the first one in the book is called Lambkin.
Shall I kill her, lambkin said, or shall I let her be? Oh, kill her, lambkin said the nurse, she was never good to me. Scour the silver basin, nurse, scour it fair and clean, and then hold up the silver for a blood all to run in. for the silver basin was both scarred, fair and clean. Lady Murray's lifeblood was dripping on the stone.
Lambkin's a completely traditional song. It's been performed by many, many people under many names. Steel Eye Span did a version under the name Long Lankin. It's one of those songs, and there's two or three veins of this song, one in which something happens and one in which another happens and one in which another happens. I just picked the one that I liked.
Are they all as gruesome as the one you chose?
Yeah, it's a very gruesome ballad indeed. And of course, she's singing that, Nancy or whatever, whoever it is, Annie, I guess, is singing that outside the place where this horrendous operation is taking place. Yet Pharaoh knows the song because he's been brought up so thoroughly in this world of ballads that are swimming around his head. He knows the song as a lullaby in the sense that many of those songs we remember from our youths, like Ring a Ring a Rosie, you know, and things like that.
Right.
It's like they're not about very nice things. The ballads in the book are used to, like that one in particular, it's sung by a prostitute outside a backstreet hovel where a very nasty operation is taking place. It's setting the scene for that to happen. In the next chapter, Lord Lovell, who's my kind of main guy in the novel, is thinking of his ancestor, Lord Lovell, which is another one of the very famous folk ballads.
Lord Lovell stood at his castle gate, a-combing his milk-white steed. Along comes Lady Nancy Bell, wishing her lover good speed, wishing her lover good speed. Where are you going, Lord Lovell, she said. Oh, where are you going, said she. I'm going, my dear Nancy Bell, strange countries for to see, strange countries for to see.
It must be fairly different writing a song versus writing an entire novel, because I'm imagining that when you write a song, you know, even if you've got all these details going on in your head, you know, you've imagined a whole life for your character. Still, for the song, you have to really pare it down, and every word, you know, every image you use must be very carefully planned. And with a novel, you have to just keep throwing details out. Is this a really different creative process, or am I making too much of it?
You're making not enough of it. Two more different things could vaguely be imagined. That they both qualify as writing is surprising, having done both of them. Because, you know, a song takes 6 minutes, roughly. You know, maybe it takes a day, but 6 minutes is more like a day than 6 years. And in my experience, a novel, of which I've only written one, takes 6 years. Mm. Trying to write a song, to me, is a leap of faith that's done very quickly. Trying to write this novel was a constant struggle of a kind of Sisyphean kind, just pushing a boulder up a hill while trying to juggle at the same time characters, plot, calendar, geography, you know, all these things. It's a bewilderingly huge task to take on. I wonder there are so many written on the shelves.
When I died, I hoped to hear the angels' song. But was I wrong? They threw me back there in that lane. They said, start again. So when you're turning off your bedside light, consider me in my wretched plight. Looks like I'm gonna have to get it right this time. But I'm here to tell you that it's not all bad. Count your blessings and you'll be glad. Count your blessings and maybe you'll be glad.
Wesley Stace, alias John Wesley Harding, with The Ballad of Miss Fortune, a new version of his song that inspired his new novel, Miss Fortune. Stace spoke with N. Strange Chimps.